Moses came down from the hill, holding the rules in his hand. Looked all around, suddenly found no one was listening. Now it's time to throw down, so throw down. Throw down. Well, throw down. Throw down.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Near Fall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Network. Butt Munch Chips, sit on your butt munch. I am your host, Landon Doan, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, my tag team partner, if you will, the freshly suspended Rabrigo Rodriguez. Will Rab, how are we doing this afternoon?
How y'all doing down here in Tennessee?
Yuck.
Yuckity yuck yuck yuck.
Yeah, you have to remember the last time we saw Ricardo, who, by the way, was suspended on his first wellness violation 2 weeks ago. The last time we saw him on television, he was doing that god-awful Southern accent.
That may be one of the worst accents I've ever heard in my life.
It really might be. And we talked about it last episode, that both you and I obviously live in the South, so we get to hear some really interesting Southern accents. I don't think I've ever heard one that was that bad.
No.
And not bad as in like you couldn't understand him, as in like maybe what was that chick who was the closer on TNT? I almost said TNA, huh? She had a really bad accent in that show. But that's a show that nobody watches.
So. Yeah, luckily. Although they tried to shove it down your throat 1,000 times whenever you watched a sporting event on TNT.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I vividly remember during the NBA playoffs, Catch the Closer starring, what is it, like Kirsten Segway or something. Segway? No, that's a thing you drive around on. Another Segway is this right here. We're here today to talk to you about this upcoming Sunday's WWE pay-per-view Money in the Bank. We're recording this episode on the 11th of July, 2013, the year of our Lord, Owen Hart. Pretty good card so far. We'll run it down. We have the World Heavyweight Championship match. That is the champion Alberto Del Rio facing off against Dolph Ziggler. We have the WWE Championship match. That is champion John Cena going up against the world's strongest man, the man who runs the Hall of Pain, Mark Henry. We also have a couple smaller championship matches. We have an IC match between Curtis Axel. Speaking of Paul Heyman guy, he is one. He is your Intercontinental Champion as well. He's going up against The Miz. We also have The Shield and Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns going up against The Usos defending their tag team titles. And we also have, I never thought I'd say this, at least in the last 6 years, a WWE Divas match that I am excited for in Caitlyn taking on champion AJ.
If you'll note, for the listener at home, they can't see this, but on our rundown of the matches, in the third segment, I actually listed all the other matches that we have to talk about.
Or as you call
want
the
to mention
rest of card.
The rest of the card. I list those in order of interest. And I actually put the Divas match ahead of the Ryback and Chris Jericho.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Ryback and Chris Jericho are fighting as well.
Yes, that's just weird. What are they doing to Ryback? A couple weeks ago, he wussed out of a match. And then last week on Raw, or this week, I guess, on Raw, he hugged Vicky. I thought he was supposed
hilarious.
To be a badass. But anyway.
That was so funny. But yeah, what are they doing with Ryback? That might be a topic for our next podcast.
Indeed.
Coming out of Money in the Bank. Because maybe, just maybe,
maybe
they'll
we'll know.
Yeah, maybe they'll do something cool with Ryback. And we'll be like, huh, we didn't think about that. But also with this pay-per-view, you might have noticed, I left out the namesake of these pay-per-views, the Money in the Bank ladder matches. For the World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank briefcase, we have Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, Dean Ambrose, Fandango, Jack Swagger, and Antonio Cesaro. Both of those last two are, of course, Dirty Dutch's men in Zeb Coulter's America.
They are real Americans.
Yes, real Americans.
Even though Cesaro's not from America, he's a real American somehow.
WWE Championship
All-Star Ladder Match.
Yeah, they're calling it the All-Star Ladder Match. We have CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, Sheamus, Christian, Kane, and the returning Rob Van Dam. The whole effin' show, as he's been known to call himself. I don't know if they'll be able to call him that in a PG era WWE.
No, I don't think he ever used that gimmick much in WWE either. He used it in ECW, and he would actually have him
say the whole effing
and then he couldn't, I don't think he could do the RVD chant in in Wrestling Abyss, a.k.a. TNA.
Oh, yeah.
So he brought back the whole effing show gimmick. Because he may not have been able to use the RVD like this, because, you know, Vince will copyright anything.
Yeah, that's true, but isn't Rob Van Dam's real name Rob Van Dam?
No.
What? It isn't? I am shocked.
I didn't know. No, it's Rob something, and apparently when he started in the indies, Jean-Claude Van Damme was really popular at the time.
Yep.
And his style kind of matched that, so that's where that comes from.
Well, and even if you kind of look at him in the face, they look somewhat similar.
Yeah.
Like maybe like third-rate cousins, third distant cousins, I don't know. Right. For the Money in the Bank briefcase for the WWE Championship, we have Best in the World, quote-unquote, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, The Viper, Randy Orton, Shanguis, as we like to call him, or Sheamus, if you're Santino Marella. Christian, where his peeps at. Kane, who might or might not be in the match, if you believe a WWE.com report. We'll get into that here in a little bit. And then, of course, we're talking about the returning Rob Van Dam. Rab, what do you think about this match?
I think it lives up to the name as the all-star ladder match, certainly, and I'm very excited to see this. You have a lot of guys who are just flat out really good workers, and then you're giving them a fantastic apparatus.
Ooh,
to work within.
Apparatus.
The layout of this Money in the Bank ladder match, and much like the Elimination Chamber, I think there will be, in addition to the actual physical winner of the briefcase, I think there will be a couple of winners and a couple of losers, big time, with their next program they'll be working on.
Okay, would
going forward.
Would you like to go out on limbs to say who those winners and losers would be?
Well, I think the obvious one is Daniel Bryan.
Yes,
and I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I think he is the obvious favorite. So, you know, I think the thought among the IWC and a lot of people who overthink wrestling, including me and you sometimes.
Yeah, I was going to say, us included.
Is that, oh, well, he's the obvious favorite. He can't win because that's predictable.
I even tweeted that on Twitter on Monday.
If you do it well.
Or I said, great, Daniel Bryan is no longer whining the Money in the Bank because autocorrect for the win.
Yes, hate you, autocorrect.
God.
I'd like to have a Texas death match with autocorrect.
I think you and everybody who uses autocorrect.
But if it's done well, it's okay if it's predictable. Because he's been building and he's so over in the company. And he's been on a hot streak ever since he got that, I guess we can stick up his butt about being the weak link.
Yeah, who would have thought he really took off when he lost the WWE Championship?
Yeah.
Tag teams.
Yeah. And they want to do a program at some point, Dave Metzger says, with John Cena and Daniel Bryan, and him having the Money in the Bank is perfect because they don't have to immediately kill the John Cena Mark Henry feud, which could be really good. You could get a couple matches out of it. So I think he's your number one winner because I think he's going to win the whole thing, and he's already red hot, and that's just going to take him to that, because he's already on the edge of that main event level, but it's going to make him legit that. He's right there with John Cena as the star of the show.
Well, speaking of viewing people as legit, I'm going to turn to somebody else in this match, Randy Orton, who for the longest time has just been kind of floating around doing whatever Randy Orton does. Like, hey, I'm going to come out here and RKO people, and then I'm going to pose and look at my stupid tattoos. Randy Orton has been made relevant again single-handedly by his matches with Daniel Bryan.
Absolutely. They've taken it to the next level.
That just goes to speak to how good Daniel Bryan is right now. Like in the ring, outside of the ring, calling matches.
Well, I mean, he did benefit from the fact that they brought him in to balance the teams when Team Hell No was wrapping up their feud with the Shield.
Yeah.
And that worked out well, and they were able to make friction there, and then the teammates were pitted against each other. And so the WWE did a good job of putting those working parts together. But I will give Daniel Bryan and I'll give Randy Orton credit for going out there and having five-star matches.
Yeah, well, and let me say this. I'm not burying Randy Orton or calling him a bad worker. It's just last couple of years he's been kind of floating around, just kind of meandering. I mean, he even said so on Raw last Monday. He said it's been 2 years since I've had that title, and I'm starving for it. So, I mean, I agree with you. I think Daniel Bryan is going to win this just based on the way they've been booking it. I think that's really the smart way to go. But I also have to consider Randy Orton kind of a wild card.
He would be my favorite aside from Daniel Bryan, because what have you seen Randy Orton do the last couple of years? It would shake things up to put him back in that main event scene.
It would.
And you could turn him heel because
Randy Orton is not a good babyface.
No. His character's sorry, too dark, dude, for that. Yeah. That would be another good direction to go, because you would get good matches out of Randy Orton, John Cena, even though it's happened before. It hasn't happened in 2 years.
Well, and yeah, you said we've seen Cena and Orton before, but we've never seen it with the caveat of the Money in the Bank contract, where the Viper could literally strike at any moment.
That would be amazing. I don't really know real losers. I don't think you can name that till you see how the match plays out. But guys I think are just going to kind of stay even. Kane.
If he's in it,
CM Punk, and I hate to disappoint everybody, but I don't think you're going to see really a rise or a fall out of RVD. I think he's going to have a lot to do with the match, and I think he's going to go a long time in the match. But at the end of the day, I think he's already done what they needed him to do. He's got everybody fired up for Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
And when the actual match comes, he's just there to be a working part. So I hate to disappoint everybody, but especially because he's going to be on a part-time contract.
So WWE come out and said how long this deal with Van Damme is and what exactly this deal pertains? Because, I mean, like you said, he could be – you made reference to him being part-time, but for all we know, I mean, he could be on a Brock Lesnar contract where he just shows up like a handful of times and then we don't see him for 6 months, and then he pops back up.
I haven't really seen anything definitive, but I've heard people talking about it, and I can't really say where because I'll just cut to chase. I don't remember. But I read so many things.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
But it all starts to
it's not a full-time thing because I don't think he wants to do that anymore.
Yeah, and in all honesty, I don't know if WWE wants a full-time Rob Van Dam either.
No.
I actually kind of have to disagree with you. I don't think Rob Van Dam's going to win it, but if Randy Orton is my wild card, Rob Van Dam is my wild card 1A because, yeah, you bring him in to drop the buy rates and stuff like that and get people to talking about a B pay-per-view. You know, we always talk about the big four, and those are always going to have the built-in audience. Well, with these gimmick pay-per-views, you kind of have to get, I guess, creative in booking them. It's kind of like a Major League Baseball team. You have to have these like promo nights. You have to have like Star Wars night to get people to come out and see, you know, the Birmingham Barons or whatever on a Wednesday.
Or the Rays and the Astros that nobody cares about. But I agree with you, but I just don't see how – I mean, he's a wild card. I think he's going to do very well in the match. Like I said, I don't think he's necessarily going to – I don't see how he elevates himself because him returning is just through the roof. People are excited about it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
He's not going to lower himself because Rob Van Dam wouldn't come back to have a shit match.
Yeah, this isn't TNA.
So –
wow, we've beaten up on TNA a lot in this first segment.
I just don't see. I don't think he's going to do bad. I think he's probably going to be involved with the finish and be there through the end. But I don't see what point there is him in winning the match.
Yeah, like I said, I'm with
you. I hate
you
to disappoint people, but
well, especially you being a Paul Heyman guy. I'm with you. I think Daniel Bryan's going to win it. But like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if RVD somehow pulled it off, but the question is, where do you go after that? I mean,
yeah, that's what
is anybody clamoring for another RVD Cena match outside of the ECW arena?
I would be excited. It'd be a good match, but the best way to go is Daniel Bryan or Randy Orton.
Yeah, all right. Well, we've talked on that ladder match. We've both given our picks and who it could and probably won't
and,
be.
And speaking of the contract that it leads into, it is for the WWE title opportunity, and that title is being defended at Money in the Bank. I guess that would kind of be the co-main event.
Yeah.
Well, John Cena versus Mark Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And for a feud that just came out of nowhere and was brilliantly executed. Really excited for this match. because I don't know how I think it's going to play out. I mean, maybe they give Henry the title and set up a rematch for SummerSlam and Bryan continues to wait in the wings. Or all I do know is if Cena somehow escapes through the champion's advantage and the crap is beat out of him, hypothetically,
yeah,
in a kayfabe manner.
Kayfabe.
You bet. I'm right with Randy Orton that you're going to see some. There's a 75% chance that somebody takes that. Takes that contract.
You're putting odds big for that.
Because it's just perfect. You got the big guy beating the crap out of the champion. The champion somehow survives.
Yep.
Well, carnage. And then the Viper shows up with an RKO. Cena will win, and he'll will himself up to get up on that top rope for his fans.
Oh, yeah.
Cena celebration, you know, his five moves of doom. And then the Viper out of nowhere.
Oh, he doesn't know how to wrestle.
So, I don't really. It's certainly plausible that Mark Henry wins, and that sets up a rematch at SummerSlam. And Mark Henry may be close to the end of his WWE career, and they give him the title for a month so he can stay with the WWE champion. But either way, that match is going to be physical.
Oh, absolutely.
And I really think, especially if Cena retains, that there's a good chance that you see a Money in the Bank cash in, because it's a perfect opportunity.
Oh, it absolutely is. And I really don't see a situation where they take the strap off of Cena. I mean, I could definitely see Mark Henry beating the bejesus out of Cena, which I think is pretty much for sure going to happen. But at the same time, I just don't see them taking the strap off of Cena here. I really don't. And it's like, you made a really good point. This feud has really come out of nowhere, because, I mean, if you remember going into Payback, there were reports that Mark Henry was in the doghouse with the WWE because he'd taken time off for injuries, and the WWE wasn't happy about that. But he's like, hey, I'm hurt, and I'm going to take my time. Looking back, that could have been a complete work. That could have been a plant by .com. But at the same time, it's like he sent out the tweets. It's like Father Time is undefeated. So they were putting up this smoke screen like Mark Henry's going to retire, and then he just destroys John Cena with the World's Strongest Slam. And I still love that promo. I love the
go home stare down Monday night.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't work for free. This ain't no pay per view, John. Mark Henry is so good in the character of what he's doing right now.
Being an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. Just being a big, giant, black, powerful dude. And I just hate that the WWE didn't realize this back when he was, like, you know, younger, and he still had more in the tank. I mean, yeah, he had a fun career as, you know, back when he was just the World's Strongest Man wearing red, white, and blue. Then he was fun when he was the muscle in the Nation of Domination. Then him and D'Lo had a lot of fun after they broke off. And then, of course,
Sexual Chocolate.
He helped Mae Young give birth to a human hand, which is still one of those what the fuck moments. But I mean, like, just somewhere along the line, it clicked for Mark Henry. I'm going to be a big, giant black dude, and I'm going to destroy everything in front of me. And it works. Mm-hmm. And the way Duke cuts promos.
People eat that up.
Oh, absolutely. And it's like, one of my favorite things about his promos, he isn't like, you know, the typical John Cena, I'm going to come out on Sunday and we're going to square off in the squared circle. He'll talk on mic, talks back, and then he'll put the mic down and he'll yell at the camera and yell at the crowd, and it still comes across. And that crap is super intimidating. Just the way he does it.
It's real life.
Oh, absolutely. And you have to love the line, this ain't no men's warehouse. I know I look good.
But I don't know. I'm not saying there's a high probability that Mark Henry wins Sunday. I don't think it's as definite as at Payback. John Cena could lose the title and then win it right back at Survivor Series, and it's kind of a nod to Mark in the twilight of his career, and it advances a storyline.
Yeah, yeah. That way he can have that feather in the cap.
It's not like CM Punk, where his whole gimmick
was
built upon the streak.
Well, did you know that he's the best in the world?
Yeah. But those are two fantastic matches that we have, part of a really good card at Money in the Bank. So what do you say we take a quick break, get some podcasting juice in us, come back, and we'll talk about the other namesake match at Money in the Bank.
Absolutely. And you will notice in the background, it's not a wrestling song like we normally do. Raw this week was in the city of Bodymore, Murderland, or excuse me, if you don't watch The Wire, Baltimore, Maryland. And me being, as cliche as it is, a white male, I love The Wire. I consider it the best show ever made. So with that said, let's enjoy the Blind Boys of Alabama.
If you walk through the garden, you better watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon, walk the straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, he'll save your soul. You gotta keep the devil down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at his command. Well, you don't have to worry if you hold on to Jesus' hand. We'll all be safe from Satan when the thunder rolls. You gotta keep the devil.
Welcome back to Near Fall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Network. Butt Munch Chips.
Sit on your butt, Munch.
I am your host, Landon Doan. He is Rabrigo Rodriguez.
Are we sure that I'm allowed to have anything to do with wrestling?
Well, that is a good question. You are on suspension, week two of your four-week suspension. Just don't tell Vinnie Mac. I think we'll be all right.
This is unsanctioned anyway.
Yes, this is an unsanctioned Street Fight podcast.
All right, so I guess we're good to go.
Yeah, in case you didn't hear that first segment, couple of questions. How the hell did you get to segment two without listening to segment one? Second of all, we're here to talk about the World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank ladder match. That features Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, Dean Ambrose, Fandango, Jack Swagger, and Antonio Cesaro. Now,
he's my best friend.
He is my best friend. Big ups to Team Road Scholars.
Yes.
They might be the most entertaining thing on a card of really entertaining acts right now. That said, whenever those two come out and Damian Sandow presents himself when he comes out, silence! I love Damian Sandow. Anyway.
I think if you go back and, by the way, you should follow us on Twitter at Near Fall Radio.
Near Fall Radio?
Yes. Follow us.
We'd appreciate it.
We'd appreciate it. We live tweet Raw in the pay-per-views.
Wow, that wasn't groveling or anything.
Hey, I'm not above groveling. I'll do whatever it takes. I think for the last 3 or 4 weeks, one of us has made every time Damian Sandow comes out to mention that he's Cody Rhodes' best friend.
In all caps, he is his best friend.
Yes.
But what are they calling this one? The future ladder match? Because they're calling the WWE Championship contract the All-Star ladder match.
Yeah, basically the future stars or the future.
Yeah.
That's how Teddy Long spun it, and then they haven't mentioned that since, so they clearly don't think Teddy Long knows shit.
Well, that's Coldplay, but
It does make sense, because we had lampooned this match only knowing it before watching SmackDown on Sci-Fi.
Before they called it the future match. We even made the mention everybody in the Raw ladder match was at least a one-time champion, World Heavyweight Champion, where in the SmackDown ladder match, there's... Well, Jack Swagger is the only one that's ever held the world championship, Matt, your title.
Yeah, and I like the idea of the all-stars and the future stars.
It is a cool
concept.
They
do it in other sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that they do. I mean...
baseball has a futures game on All-Star Weekend.
And that is coming up.
They used to do something with the NHL with, like, the young guns. They did something to promote them.
Yeah.
They have the rookie versus sophomore game or whatever it is.
Yeah,
in the NBA.
NBA All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, it's smart.
And it has precedent in the sports world.
And all these guys have the potential to be future stars if worked properly. And I think that's a point I kind of made when we were first talking about, yeah, there's no real All-Stars in this and you can move some things around. But the guy who wins this has the potential to really rocket himself to that next level.
And therein lies the $64,000 question, because you compare this to the Raw ladder match, everybody's like, yeah, Daniel Bryan's going to win it. And that's pretty much been the general consensus. Looking at the SmackDown ladder match, who the hell is going to win this?
I'll give you my top three because I can't really narrow it down.
You
past
and I are
that.
In the same boat. We have a handful. We have a couple dudes, maybe an outlier that might do it. But it's like I can't pick just one. Go for it, Reb.
Jack Swagger.
Okay.
And this is in no real particular order. I was about to say this was in some order, and then I can't allow myself to be that concrete. So Jack Swagger, because it said his name first.
Yes.
Cody Rhodes. Mm-hmm. Dean Ambrose.
Okay.
And I think if I had to make a favorite out of those three, I would say Dean Ambrose. Not that the Shield comes help him win the ladder match, which would be perfectly legal because anything goes in a ladder match.
It is a ladder match.
But if he has that, he has the best possibility of any of those guys to be able to take advantage of it the best because he has the Shield backing him. That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. We only have one overlap. I'm actually... Yeah, okay, I'll go ahead and say it. I think Dean Ambrose is going to win this ladder match. I just think the Shield act right now is going strong, and if you give them the caveat, oh, by the way, anytime you go down as a champion, you have to worry about us coming out and picking your bones. And oh, by the way, perfect. we can take your championship when we pick your bones, too.
Yes.
I think Ambrose is going to win it. I think Antonio Cesaro could possibly win it. And this might be just because I'm a very big homer and mark for this guy. I really think Damian Sandow could do it.
Any of those guys could do it because it's all about being the future star and taking it to that next level. And
let me say this.
We saw Sandow had a fantastic feud with Sheamus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no reason he can't have that contract. And he isn't just because you have... The contract doesn't mean you have to become the number one contender.
Exactly.
You just have to seize the opportunity.
I mean, look at Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, and...
Yeah, look at any Money in the Bank.
Sandow's that smart, calculated guy, and you could see him come out and think... He could kind of do like Fandango refused to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
You could have like the main event on SmackDown or Raw or something, and then the champ's down, and Sandow comes out for a second... Nah.
And waves his finger and says, not tonight.
Yeah.
You mentioned Fandango. Is it outside the realm of possibility that WWE just wants to go full bore with this dude and puts the Money in the Bank briefcase on him?
It's not. Any of these guys, even Wade Barrett, even though the more I think about it, Wade Barrett's kind of like Randy Orton. What's been going on with him?
That is true.
And he has the look... And the ability, but what's going on with him? So if we can just use this as, I know this sounds cheesy, but the defibrillator on Randy Orton's career, why can't we defibrillate Wade Barrett?
Well, maybe defibrillate is the wrong word because I don't think Wade Barrett ever had a career to begin with. So at this point, it might be like zombification, bringing Wade Barrett back from the dead. But yeah, that's the thing. Wade Barrett has the look. He's a pretty okay talker. But it's just, he's never been able to put it together. I mean, even towards the end of the Nexus stuff, I mean, they put him with CM Punk for crying out loud because it wasn't working with Wade Barrett. Now, granted, that was a big, stupid, convoluted Nexus versus New Nexus versus NWO Japan versus NWO Wolfpack bullshit type deal. But it's like, just for whatever reason, Wade Barrett just can't put it together.
You bring up the Nexus thing. That was so weird because they were full hot and WWE or whoever, somebody found a way to F that up and kind of ruin Wade Barrett.
Yeah, because, I mean, you go back to that summer when the Nexus first debuted, Wade Barrett was the most over heel, well, mainly because he was running around with eight other dudes who were just going to, you know, destroy anything at the drop of a hat. But at the same time, it's like somewhere after or around that Survivor Series match where they brought back Daniel Bryan as the mystery partner for Team WWE, just after that, I mean, the wheels fell. I will say this on the Nexus. They were unfortunate. They had a lot of really bad injuries. Skip Sheffield was running around Ryback before he became Ryback, and he was a big part of the Nexus, and he got hurt, and that was a big blow for them. But we're going way off topic here.
Yeah, so let's put a cap on this. We think Dean Ambrose is the favorite.
No, screw it. I'm going to say Antonio Cesaro wins it.
All right, I'm going with Dean Ambrose. You're going with Cesaro. Wild, a couple of wild cards.
Well, I would have to say Fandango for me. And well, I mean, obviously Damian Sandow, since we just dedicated what 2 minutes to talking about
the Cody Rhodes. Really, any of these guys could win it. But again, my top three is Ambrose, Rhodes, and Swagger, just because Swagger was that main event guy, and they had the thing going with Swagger and Del Rio and Ziggler before Ziggler got the concussion, so maybe they'll use this to help Swagger and kind of restart and maybe finish off
that
feud or go another direction with that. And you're three, so your favorite is Cesaro.
Antonio Cesaro.
And then two wild cards.
Well, I don't want to call Dean Ambrose a wild card because a lot of people are picking
him.
Yeah, he would be my second one. But it's like, I guess wild card, I would go Fandango and Damian Sandow.
All right, so much like we did with the WWE strap, let's touch on the title that who we think these guys will be cashing in on.
Yes,
for the World Heavyweight Championship, we have another rematch: Del Rio versus Ziggler. And while maybe not the anticipation of some of the other matches on the card, I think this has become a pretty good feud. And it's surprising it's kind of gotten better when the sideshow's gone away. I'm not saying it's the best ever, and I do think this is going to be the burn-off, but they certainly have heat.
Yeah, but I don't know. Just this might be me not being able to get behind Alberto Del Rio as a champion. It's like I thought him turning heel would really help, but even then it's like I'm just not into whatever Alberto Del Rio's doing. I'm really not. And it's like I don't want to say it's predictable with where they're going, because I could be completely wrong, but it's like I see this Sunday AJ or Big E or both of them cost Dolph the title. And this is going to complete Dolph's full-on babyface turn and let AJ and Big E go be healing douchebags off in the corner by themselves, which I have a problem with, but go ahead.
Is it really? Well, I mean, that's valid, but can you keep having Alberto Del Rio as your champion?
Well, WWE Creative thinks so.
Or maybe can you just fix that real quick, because one of these, I don't know, maybe that's where we see the cash in at Money in the Bank.
I don't know. I think if we see a cash in this Sunday, it's going to be on the WWE strap, just because John Cena's going up against Mark Henry. And like you said, even if John Cena does win, there's a very real possibility Mark Henry is going to just destroy him and still somehow figure out a way to lose.
Or maybe I'm going to crazy WCW land here for a minute, but hear me out.
All right. Well, I am a WCW fan.
Hear me. Maybe WWE just turns the whole place upside down.
What do you mean?
Both of them.
What? There is no way we see two cash-ins.
I mean, it's like a 2% possibility, but
no, I'm going to put that at a 0% possibility. Because
I just have to throw out Crazy Land there for a minute.
Well, we appreciate at Crazy Land.
If you don't do it with the WWE Championship, it just doesn't happen, because Daniel Bryan wins, and that's not what they want to do with Daniel Bryan, because they want that to develop into a more legitimate feud than that he cashed in.
Yeah.
Because I think it's more likely the cash in happens if Orton wins.
Oh, yeah. If Randy Orton wins it, we're seeing the cash in on Sunday. Well, I mean, he even said so.
Yeah.
We're not going out on any limbs there.
But if, like, Daniel Bryan wins it and they don't see a cash in there, I think you could see a cash in on the World Heavyweight side if Dean Ambrose wins.
Yeah.
Because the WWE doesn't want to blow that opportunity to kill Ziggler in fun time, but they don't really want Del Rio as a champion, so Del Rio is in the ring, and then the lights go out or something, or the Shield music hits.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, God. All right, well, you mentioned Ziggler in fun time, and you're wanting them to not kill it off. I think it's time we have a memorial service for Ziggler in fun
time. I'm not saying that they should or shouldn't kill it off, but I think if they're going to turn Ziggler more face, baby face him, which that looks like what they're going to do, and whatever, man, I mean, he can pull it off. You got to separate him from Big E and AJ, because AJ's too good of a heel.
I have such a problem with what they're doing with Dolph Ziggler, because for the longest time when he was being that kind of douchebaggy heel. I'm awesome and I know it, and I'm going to tell you why I'm awesome, and I'm going to come out and, well, he was the show off. And he was getting this overreaction from, you know, people like us, and, you know, some people were starting to come around to him. You know who else this reminds me of? Randy Orton, when they gave him the WWE Championship when he beat Chris Benoit at Survivor Series when he was in Evolution. Randy Orton was getting babyface reactions even though he was a heel, but he was coming out and just doing this kind of douchebaggery stuff that makes Randy Orton a good heel, but it was getting a good reaction. Then they made him babyface and completely destroyed what they had going with him. I mean, it took Randy Orton like a year and a half to finally recover. It took him RKOing Stacy Keibler in the middle of the ring on a Monday night to finally get back on track. And I'm really afraid that's what they're doing with Dolph Ziggler. An unnecessary face turn. You don't have to turn him full face if you don't want to, but let him be a tweener. Let him continue to do what he's been doing, and that portion of the crowd, that IWC crowd that likes what he's doing, is going to give him that cheer, but then the rest of the crowd's going to boo him.
Could he, though, separate from AJ and Big E without turning full babyface?
Well, therein lies the question, because I just really feel, and it's unfortunate Dolph Ziggler got that concussion, because I really feel like we missed out on what could have been with Ziggles and Funtime.
Could, though, he go about separating himself from them in that douchebaggy manner that he's good at doing? Because
honestly, I don't think he could, because, I mean, we saw on Monday when he and AJ had a backstage segment for the first time and since he was concussed, and he was giving off this very babyface feel where AJ is like one of the most over heels in the company right now with what she's doing with Caitlyn.
But if he separates from them, which I think they're going to do, because it just doesn't make sense, because he's, even if he's a tweener, he can't be hanging out with the two big heels.
Yeah,
the biggest
that's true.
Heel, the biggest woman heel in the company and her muscle, basically. Which, that gif of him carrying her out of Raw is awesome.
Yeah, that cracks me up.
Yeah. If he's opposed to AJ, it doesn't matter. She's going to get the heel reaction, so he's going to be the de facto babyface. There's nothing you can do about that if you separate them, but you can't really keep... You're in a catch-22, kind of. I'm trying to think through a way in my mind for it to kind of get the best... I can't think of a way to get the best of both worlds.
And maybe that's just me being all like fantasy booker land and crap like that, saying I want Ziggler to stay heel. That's just my opinion. I might not have anything to, you know, go on with that. But it's just like I'm getting smatterings of Randy Orton's first title run all over again. And it did not end well for Orton. And I'm afraid that's what's going to happen to Ziggler, because he is a very talented worker both in and out of the ring. And I would just hate for him to have basically the world in front of him. And then it's like, okay, well, now you're going to go be on Superstars fighting Zack Ryder.
I'm not dissing Randy Orton, but he's had, let's not forget, stalls in his momentum because of wellness issues.
Yeah, that's true. But the situation I'm talking about had nothing to do with wellness. That was just WWE creative dropping the ball, and then instead of picking up the ball, they decided to get on the ground and have sex with the ball.
Marshall Henderson at Ole Miss got suspended this week for weed. How many times do you think he actually failed a drug test before he got suspended?
And I'd be willing to bet he failed for other stuff than weed, allegedly.
Allegedly cleaned.
Cleansed.
But my point is, knowing what they have in Randy Orton and not wanting to... How many times did they brush it under the rug and never actually... Because you can do that shit.
Absolutely.
And... We didn't know of a confirmed failed drug test, but that he just got punished creatively. That happens.
That is a very real possibility. I mean, about being punished creatively, you remember when some of our first episodes when Jack Swagger was having his DUI and marijuana problems, we were talking about, is he going to be punished creatively? Are they going to just squash what they had going into Mania? Clearly they didn't, but at the same time, I mean, it's not outside the realm of possibility that could have happened.
I'm just gonna give Ziggler the benefit of the doubt and we don't know exactly what they're going to do. And like I said, it's a catch 22, and it's kind of hard to exactly. You got to see what's going to happen before we can talk about if we think it's a good direction.
Yeah, that's true. And I do need to give WWE Creative the benefit of the doubt, because they are WWE Creative. And even though some people on the internet think they know better, for the most part, WWE Creative is on top of the ball.
Well, I mean, look about how excited we are for the Mark Henry feud and the other ladder match. So
yeah, that's true.
Clearly, they get things right. But speaking of matches, we still have several matches on the card to talk about, plus some news and notes. So let's take another break.
All right, taking us out, you might hear the creepy, ominous guitar chords that'll let you know the Wyatt family is here. And we're going to be talking about their debut on Monday, so keep it locked. You're listening to Near Fall Radio on the Butt Munch Chips Network. Butt Munch Chips.
Sit on your butt much.
Catching flies in his mouth, tasting freedom while he does, then calling back, back to the
from the palatial Butt Munch Chip Studios, in a secure underground bunker, in an unknown part of the sovereign nation of Polandic.
Well, it is a big nation.
Welcome back to Near Fall Radio. I am Will Rabin, joined by my tag team partner, the Dawes, Landon Doan.
Howdy.
And we have talked about both Money in the Bank ladder matches, the namesake matches of this pay-per-view, and both world title matches. But there are several other matches on the undercard at Money in the Bank, so let's quickly touch on them, and then we have a few interesting news and notes, including our thoughts on the debut of the family whose music you've been sampling.
Yes, the Wyatt family. Do we want... Let's go ahead
let's
and talk about
the
card. That way we can get, as you put it, the undercard out of the way, and then get to the main event of this segment, which is the Wyatt family, because, oh my God.
Just like Monday Night Raw, the Wyatts can't show up until the last moments.
Exactly, yeah. Think of this like the 10:45 time of Raw.
Yes. So the rest of the card, in the pre-show tag team championship match, The Shield, Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns versus the number one contenders, Jay and Jimmy Uso. Clearly the Shield here.
Yeah, I think the Shield walks away. Though I do have to say I've been impressed with what the Usos have been doing since the WWE has kind of put them on Raw, because they've been kicking ass on like Main Event and Superstars for a long time. But now the WWE universe, and God, I hate to say that, but it is really true. Everybody watches Raw. They get to see what the Usos can really do, and very quietly, WWE's putting together quite an awesome tag team division.
Yeah, and I don't really think that the Usos have to win right now.
Oh,
to
no, not
get
at
them
all.
Over. They just have a really good, you know, not epoch, because you only have a couple epoch matches in a lifetime.
Yeah.
But they just have a good, solid match with the Shield, push the Shield to the limit, make everybody look good, and that's mm-hmm. a win for them.
And plus, who doesn't want to see the Usos come out doing their warrior chant? It's like a haka or something. That crap's cool.
Absolutely. And then another mid-card title match, you got Curtis Axel.
He is a Paul Heyman guy.
The Paul Heyman guy going up against The Miz, and again, I see no reason...
Nope.
To unstrap Curtis Axel right now.
Really no reason to talk about this matchup, because Curtis Axel is going to beat The Miz, because The Miz is doing something right now.
The Miz is a jobber.
Yeah.
He's a high-profile jobber who can talk well.
And good on him. He gets a paycheck. Right now,
he's on the Ron Simmons plan.
And not a damn thing wrong with that.
Nope.
But it really does seem like WWE is trying to put a... eggs in the basket of Curtis Axel, so to speak. So I don't see any reason why they would stop his momentum here. And Paul Heyman can come out and say his client, Curtis Axel, has beaten another former WWE champion. So there you go.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily dislike Curtis Axel.
No, I mean, he's no Michael McGillicuddy, but
no.
Yeah, he's all right.
Caitlin versus AJ Lee, the Divas title on the line, and the first time in a long time, maybe if ever, since, you know, the Trish Stratus Lita days for me, I care what the Divas are doing.
Yeah, this has been a long time coming. I'm actually going to go a little bit more recent. The last time I really cared about the Divas division is back when Trish Stratus was feuding with Mickie James, when Mickie James was kind of that stalker chick on Trish. They had some fantastic matches.
Well, I do have to say, the last time I cared about the Divas, I was a teenage boy in high school.
Okay, keep it in your pants, Rab.
Maybe that fueled some of the enthusiasm, because I had a thing for Trish Stratus.
Wait, you being a straight male had a thing for Trish Stratus? I refuse to believe that.
What, you didn't?
Oh, I totally did. I was being facetious, as they like to say. Maybe Damian Sandow says that. Other people say sarcastic.
I say both.
Ah, well, I guess you no longer need the intellectual savior of the masses.
No, I do.
Yeah, because that is a pretty sweet bathrobe.
I do, in addition to being a Paul Heyman guy, fancy myself a follower of Sandow, as we stand for similar principles in trying to undumb America.
I wonder how Damian Sandow would feel about you saying undumb.
Well, I was...
Silence!
Probably. He'd probably give me grief, but... I have to put things in a language that people who are listening to this podcast can understand.
Yeah, let's talk down to our audience now. They are wrestling
fans.
It
works for Damian Sandow.
Yeah, so it must work for us. There any other? Oh yeah, we're forgetting again about the Ryback fighting Y2J Chris Jericho.
I'm sure that'll be a really good match, like 30 minutes into the pay-per-view, or maybe they'll open with that. Who knows?
Wow, you think more of this matchup than I do. I'm pretty sure the only thing I can guarantee is this is going to be a match.
It probably won't open the show, but it'll be with it. You get this will probably fall somewhere in between the two ladder matches, because they'll probably have a match or two in between the two.
Well, yeah,
matches.
Yeah, they're definitely going to have a match. I would say two matches at least to let the crowd cool off. I wouldn't be surprised if one of the ladder matches opens the card, because they've been doing that in the past.
I would probably open it with the world title ladder match, and then have a couple matches. I think the WWE ladder match is going to be the second to last match, and I think Cena and Henry will close the show. I don't really care the order, though.
Well, I don't care about the order except during the Money in the Bank match, because if there's going to be a cash in, it really depends on the order of the card. Because I mean, you can't have a cash in on the WWE Championship if the WWE ladder match hasn't happened yet.
Well, that's true. The obvious thing is that the WWE Championship ends the show, I
yeah.
think.
Because
it is the WWE Championship. But that's what that says about that match, is that all we can really talk about is, well, where will it be?
Yeah, yeah. And that right there was Money in the Bank.
I think just one more thing.
Oh, we're still talking about
logical
this?
Sense
okay.
about where they put all this. Is you open with a ladder match in the first hour, have a couple matches, then you get into hour two, have the other one, have another couple matches, let the crowd
cool off,
take a pee break,
yeah,
and then you have the
maybe
the
that's
show.
Why Chris Jericho and Ryback are fighting each other. People need a pee break.
Good God, poor Ryback, you're the pee break. Anyway, that's Money in the Bank. What can you say about that? When all the thing they. Oh, Chris Jericho cut a good promo about how you're a pussy, basically, because you quit
what,
a match.
What, Cryback? Is that what we're
Cryback,
calling him now?
That's all we got out of that?
Seriously?
Yeah,
come on.
Jericho had fun with it, though, and I always enjoy Jericho in a microphone. So
well, yeah, that is true.
I'd rather see that than another commercial for David Otunga's shitty movie.
Oh, yeah, starring Halle Berry. God.
Yeah.
The WWE Film Studios, the gift that keeps on giving. ... Unintentional
so
comedy.
Bad. So the fact that we're talking about other things, like we said, match placement and movies in the WWE and stuff like that, clearly shows you that we're not all that interested in some of these other matches on the card, which is okay because you need filler.
Exactly.
So why don't we talk about some news that is going on that interests us more?
That sounds like a plan.
Why don't we talk about the people who we were talking about that started the segment? The
Rob
Wyatt
Van Dam.
Family.
No.
We played their song.
Who?
The Wyatt Family?
No, they don't ring a bell.
Bray Wyatt, the guy with the beard.
You mean
Hawaiian
Husky
t-shirt.
Harris?
Oh. Oh. Yes, let's talk about Husky Harris and what he's been doing. How
okay.
About that?
All right. I was a fan of him on NXT.
Yes. After one of the most anticipated debuts that I can think of in a long time.
Long time. I would say this debut with the vignettes they put together, some of the best work WWE has done in the last decade.
I'm trying to think of things, and I was this ranks up there with Jericho showing up, because that was really was it really anticipated or
it was definitely anticipated because I mean
the Y2J
it was
stuff
it
was
a countdown clock, so we definitely anticipated it was going to end. But I mean, yeah, I remember when they came out in Chicago and some people in the crowd knew. I mean, there were some Jericho signs, but it's like when the lights went down and the Titantron said Jericho. I mean, just talking about it, I'm getting goosebumps, and I definitely got that vibe off the Wyatt family this past week.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, like you kind of alluded to.
Oh boy.
Because I thought it was perfect. They waited till the end of the show, and then the song started, and the lights were out after Kane's match.
The best part. All right, the lights go down after Kane's match, and they do a vignette. And
with
Bray,
the lantern.
Yeah, and Bray Wyatt's up there ranting and raving. And then at the very end of the vignette, it's a black screen. You see Bray Wyatt hold up this lantern, light it, look right in the camera and say, "We're here." And they blow out the light. And then camera cuts to the top of the stage. You see three figures walk out of the darkness, one holding a lantern. And just every now and then, you can see those beady eyes underneath his fedora hat, and his big crazy beard is sticking out. And you see the two behind him, the one wearing the sheep mask, very slowly, methodically walk down to the ring. And then
the rocking chair rocking.
Yeah, they put a rocking chair at the foot of the ramp. Bray Wyatt just gets in that, rocks back and forth, holding the lantern. And this entire time, you're just focused on him. Then he blows out the lantern. Arena falls into darkness. Lights come back up. Rowan and Harper, I think, are the other two's names. They're in the ring, and they just beat the shit out of Kane. I mean, Kane's a big dude. These dudes were bigger than Kane, and they laid him out on the outside. They put his head in between the ring steps and squashed his head, and then Bray Wyatt just kind of slowly, methodically, with a grin on his face, walks over, drops to his knees, and admires the handiwork. And I went back and watched, and it's like this entire time, there's somebody at ringside screaming, "Get up, Kane, come on, get up, get up." So, I mean, it's like people were into it, except for the fucking internet wrestling community. This is why we can't have nice things.
Nope. And it was great. The music, that theme song is just the whole thing, because it's creepy.
I mean, it is like something out of a monster movie.
It reminds, like... Well, I think an article I read reminds you a lot of Cape Fear, or when I was talking with you trying to get the vibe, you compared it to the Devil's Rejects.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like that backwoods, not quite Deliverance, but kind of that eeriness.
Kind of like the remake, Rob Zombie's remake of Halloween. Kind of Texas Chainsaw Massacre-esque. Not, you know, somebody running around
more
with a chainsaw.
More Halloween-y.
But, yeah.
But just really good, and then, like you said, the IWC and just have to shit on everything.
We're smart. We watch stuff.
Wikipedia. And you saw my rant on Twitter,
which was so justified. I mean, it's like, yes, we get it. You used to watch this program back when he was somebody else. Guess what? So did everybody else. We don't have to chant about it.
Can I make a really good point?
Absolutely.
Was Steve Austin always Stone Cold Steve Austin?
No, he was not.
He was a Hollywood blonde.
Yep.
With Brian Pillman. He was the ringmaster.
With Ted DiBiase when he first came to WWF. I mean, this was like 6 months before he was Stone Cold.
He was Stunning Steve.
Mm-hmm.
When Steve Austin's music hits and that glass breaks, do people start chanting Hollywood blonde, or they don't heckle Steve Austin? Is it just because the internet wrestling community exists now and they're all dickheads?
I think that might be it because, yeah, when we were talking about when Steve Austin was, you know, the ringmaster and Steve Williams and Stunning Steve Williams and all his different names, the internet was a thing, but it was nowhere near as prevalent as it is now.
Okay, maybe a better example. I read somewhere, I forgot where I read this, but it's a comment, so I'm not attributing to anybody, but Oh, it was when I was looking up the Wyatt family theme song.
Yeah.
So I made a point, when Raven debuted in ECW, he had had other gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
And he got heckled for a little while. But eventually the ECW fans, who arguably at the time were as educated as the IWC fans are now.
They were IWC before there was such a thing as IWC. Those were the guys that were trading tapes to see the territories and stuff like that.
Yeah, they knew who everybody was. And they heckled him a little bit because they're a tough crowd, but if you pull off a good character, they shut up about it.
Or you could be Tenzai, who still to this day gets Albert chants. Even though he's been Tenzai for what, going on 2 years now after WrestleMania? He debuted the Monday night after WrestleMania 2 years ago. So yeah. And still to this day, Albert, Albert.
Or the Goldberg thing with Ryback. God, that's funny, but just enjoy the show.
Yeah, I know this is a foreign concept to some of you, but wrestling should be enjoyable. You should enjoy when you sit down on Mondays.
They don't.
To watch.
They don't. Who was Dolph Ziggler in the Spirit Squad?
Wasn't he Nikki or something, or Mikey? Or he was one of the Spirit Squads, regardless.
They don't heckle Dolph Ziggler.
Exactly. So that is weird. It's like some people get that treatment while others don't. Now maybe it might be they treat him with respect. It's like you mentioned Steve Austin. It's like, well, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, but it's like, I mean, Hulk Hogan, he wasn't always Hulk Hogan. He was freaking Thunderlips, for crying out loud. do they chant Thunderlips at him?
No, but it'd be one thing if, because everybody was in, I think everybody like us bought, maybe they think the Wyatts are stupid, but they just showed up.
Give them a chance. How about that?
Like Sid said on Twitter, and his real name is not Husky Harris. It's Wyndham Rotunda. He's a third or fourth generation wrestler.
Yeah,
he's got lineage going way
back.
He's
the son of Mike Rotunda, who was also known as IRS in the WWE. He was a WCW heavyweight champion when he was in WCW.
His uncle or something's Barry Windham.
Yeah,
so that's where
granddad his name. isn't he Blackjack Milligan or something? And then his brother is Bo Dallas, the current NXT
champion.
That's
where, I mean, his name comes from the fact that his uncle's Barry Windham and his dad's
Mike Rotunda. Yeah,
and certainly if anybody knows how hard somebody's been working, it's Sid.
Mm-hmm. Well, we think this is the real Sid on
Vicious.
Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah. Psycho Sid Vicious, whatever. Crazy guy Sid.
Powerbomb Sid, yeah.
Powerbomb Sid. Wyndham's invested in this character. They've highly developed it. It's not like they pulled him out of NXT last week.
Yeah.
And gave him this character. He's been doing this character in NXT for months.
And from what I hear, getting rave reviews
doing
it.
And he's a good wrestler by all accounts.
Well, I can vouch for that. He was one of the highlights in the ring during the whole second season of NXT and New Nexus stuff. It's like, I remember he had the tagline, body of a tank, engine of a Ferrari. Because, I mean, dude is a big guy. There's no way around it. He moves so well. He's powerful, and he has the speed of somebody half his size.
But if just, I guess our point is, just let it be.
Exactly. Give it a chance.
If a month, 6 weeks from now, if it sucks, and much like X-Pac when he first showed up, if you want to give him the go-home heat, then by all means, start chanting Husky Harris and heckle him. But this is one of the, in my mind, this is one of the best things that WWE has done in a long time. It's
long
really
time.
Well done. And it's going to make an impact, and I think it has the potential to be a good thing, much like the Shield. Why you have to shit on it 5 minutes into it? Why you have to be a fucking asshole?
Because we're smart. We watch Chikara. Every match must be five-star epoch.
I don't understand why this would be something the IWC doesn't like, or it doesn't matter if they like it or not. They just have to prove how smart they are.
I think it's the latter, because looking around online,
people
are excited for the Wyatt. I just think it's people have to prove how fucking smart they are, how smart they think they are. It's like, yeah, guess what? We watched the same program you did 3 years ago when he was Husky Harris. Guess what? We probably read some of the same articles you read to get this little smarky bullshit.
when Bray Wyatt first showed up, you said, hey, look, it's a Husky Harris sighting.
Yeah, even on Twitter, I asked, did we just get a Husky Harris sighting? And then as soon as they said Bray Wyatt, I said, and the next tweet, that was the last time I ever mentioned Husky Harris and Bray Wyatt.
The character's good.
Yeah.
It's not like they're trying to sell us on the Shockmaster. It's why we can't have nice things, because y'all are a bunch of dicks.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it. I mean, it really is.
Real quick, we mentioned Steve Austin, and I think this is worth touching on, is we could keep talking about Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family showing up, but we're just going to keep finding new ways to cuss out the IWC.
Yeah, it really seems like every week or every other week, we really just get on the IWC about something.
Because they're a-holes.
Yeah.
They take the fun out of it.
Mm-hmm. They really do.
And I'm not going to call us smarks, because we're not smarks. We're educated wrestling fans. We do are a little bit deeper into it than just watching it. But I don't think we're on the IWC dickhead level yet.
No, I don't want to lump us in with those marshals.
No.
Just yet.
We don't really fall anywhere. We're kind of nomads, because we're not marks.
No.
And we're not the IWC.
We're just butt munch chips.
We're just butt munch chips. That might be the new slogan. But we mentioned Steve Austin, and Steve Austin was on the Busted Open satellite radio show. You know, he has things
shots
to promote.
Fired to
he
whatever
has,
that is.
His podcast that he does, which is very good. And they have that Redneck Island thing on some TV station.
Isn't somewhere. That on CMT or something?
I don't know. I don't get CMT, actually. Thank God.
That's kind of surprising. Us living in East Tennessee, not every TV comes equipped with CMT.
But he was on a satellite radio on SiriusXM on the Busted Open show. I have no idea what channel that's on. And the topic came up, the possibility of Steve getting back in the ring for the WWE. And if so, would that happen at WrestleMania next year in New Orleans, which I am super psyched for. I'm just psyched to go to WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun
fucking
trip.
And here's what
trip.
Austin had to say about that. And if you want to see the rest of this, I'm reading off of WrestleView, and they link to prowrestling.net, and you can go check it out and see exactly everything
just
he said.
Just go to WrestleView. They won't gum up your system with stupid cookies and spyware.
Quote, this is the quote from Steve. Well, I'm not going to put the cart in front of the horse. I'm not lobbying for a match. If the stars lined up, then it would happen. But it's going to take a lot for those stars to line up. No sense in beating a dead horse. To think about it is one thing. To actually go out, come to terms, and go through the business prep and actually accomplishing a match, it's a whole different ballgame and a major process. Landon Doan, your thoughts.
Would it be cool to see Stone Cold Steve Austin back in a WWE ring? Absolutely. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not, because this has been an ongoing narrative for a few years where we know Steve Austin, his body just won't let him go anymore. But the thing is, anytime anybody interviews him, it's always brought up, and it's always a WrestleMania match. I mean, last year when this got brought up, it was CM Punk and Steve Austin at WrestleMania 29.
I still think that if he does a match, that's who it's going to be with, because they still like to bitch at each other on Twitter.
Well, yeah, I do agree. If Steve Austin was to come back to the WWE for a match, it probably would be with Punk, and also because he probably wouldn't want to get in the ring with somebody who could further fuck up his neck.
Yeah. And I don't see him coming back for anything other than WrestleMania. And if The Undertaker can keep doing it and finding the way to work a match, I think if Steve really wants to do it at some point and he's healthy because he's had his knees worked on, and maybe he can get it up for one more match. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. And I don't think it's something to legitimate talk about at WrestleMania this year. But and if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in the next 5 years.
Well, yeah, because Austin's body isn't in the best shape it is, but it's like if it goes any further past 5, 6, 7 years, then we're getting into like the Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair territory, where it's like if you're sitting next to the ramp when they come down, you can hear their joints creak as they walk by.
Yeah, I think it's a possibility. I'm not saying it's impossible. I don't think it's more than like 30% that it's going to happen. But it is something I hope does, because it would be really cool to see him out there one last time.
Well, let me say this. Back before The Rock got in the ring with Punk and Cena, everybody was like, yeah, I'd like to see The Rock back in the ring one more time. Just see him. And then people saw him in the ring, and I don't know whether it was just people built it up in their mind too much or if they were expecting something else, But people were not a big fan of The Rock's in-ring performance. And I would be leery that we would get that again with Steve Austin and maybe amplified, because it's like, you have to remember, when The Rock came in for those matches, he was already in pretty decent shape. I mean, he didn't have the cardiovascular that you need to, you know, run the ropes and stuff. But, I mean, he was still very fit and in shape. Where, I mean, you look at Austin, I mean, I'm sure Steve Austin's in good health. But at the same time, I mean,
that's why I only think it's a 30% chance, because Steve knows if he can go out there and do a good match or not, and he's not going to go make himself look like shit, so.
I don't think we're ever going to see Austin in a WWE ring again just because of his neck.
Yep.
And
with that, let's close another edition of Near Fall Radio.
Rab, got anything to plug this week?
I already plugged it once. I'll plug it again, at Near Fall Radio on Twitter. We will be live tweeting Money in the Bank.
Speaking of Money in the Bank, we are going to be live tweeting that, but we'd like to actually interact with you a little bit about Money in the Bank. We're going to introduce a question of the week, or question of the 2 weeks, because that's our recording schedule. This week's question is, what is your favorite Money in the Bank moment? And I say moment because it could be back when the Money in the Bank was just a ladder match at WrestleMania. It could be a cash-in when somebody gets the contract and go gets their title, or it could be some moment from the pay-per-view. So since I'm posing the question, Rab, why don't you answer?
My favorite, I'm going to go way back in time to one of my favorite wrestlers, the R-rated superstar, Edge. Mm-hmm. And when he first cashed in the first Money in the Bank contract at the New Year's Revolution.
Yeah, that was a cool moment.
Completely changed the game, because he had the contract for a little while, because he had won it at Mania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was back when it was just at Mania. So he'd had it for close to, 10 months at that point?
Yeah. And now, because you're at January New Year's Revolution, so you're coming up on another Mania, and people didn't really know how it would be used. And I think it took a lot of faith in the WWE to ride with him and for Vince to let him do it. And it completely changed the game, because now that's the model of what we expect to see with the Money in the Bank. Is you don't use it to get a match with a guy who's ducking you. You use it in an opportunistic way.
Oh, absolutely.
And you use it as a game changer, and it really did change the game from the first one.
That's a good one.
And I guess even you could include in that the whole Edge with the first one, not just the cash in, but him winning it, because you know that was Epoch, the first ever Money in the Bank match, and you had Edge in it, and Edge was in a ladder match.
Yeah,
so you know it kicked ass.
Yeah, that first Money in the Bank was a fun one. You had people like Edge, Christian, Matt Hardy, back before he started eating grapes, Shelton Benjamin. Who else did they have? I mean, I think MVP was in that too. I mean, that was a fun match. I am going to go with something a little bit more recent. I'm going to go with the end of Money in the Bank when CM Punk beat John Cena for the WWE Championship match in Chicago when his contract was expired, and then ended up leaving through the crowd with the WWE Championship. And there was like, so is he really done, or is this a story? I thought that was a really fantastic moment, and that really was a catalyst for what turned Punk into what he is now. I mean, though I particularly am kind of complaining that he's getting kind of long in the tooth, but it's like, I still enjoy what he's doing, and that right there is when CM Punk became CM Punk in the WWE.
Summer of Punk.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they did it in ROH, and hot damn, they did it in WWE too, and it worked out just
so
fine.
So two seminal moments in WWE history, CM Punk leaving with the championship and the first Money in the Bank
cash in. So
the whole first Money in the Bank, how that whole thing played out. Mm-hmm. You know,
so those are our answers. Why don't you get on Twitter, hit us up, twitter.com/nearfallradio, and let us know, and we'll be reading some of your responses during the next episode of Near Fall Radio here on the Butter
and stay tuned, because we may make a first attempt at a reaction show to a pay-per-view.
Yes, I know we talked about a WrestleMania one, but considering the fact that WrestleMania ended at like 11:30 and every one of us had work in the morning, we're like, yeah, this isn't happening.
We are going to record some thoughts on Money in the Bank. They may or may not make it to air. As you know, in wrestling, there are dark matches, so we'll see how it goes.
Exactly.
But stay tuned for that. We'll keep you updated on Twitter on if that's going to happen, and we'll have news at Near Fall Radio on Twitter, and we'll probably have a question of the week every week, even if we don't record, because we can talk about it on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
at the very least. So follow us and check it out if you like the sweet science of professional wrestling.
As we do. So for The Will Rab, I am Landon Doan. Thanking you for listening to another episode of Near Fall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Network. Butt Munch Chips.
Sit on your butt munch.